Police accountability, from internal affairs to citizen accountability, many systems across the country have tried with varying degrees of success to hold police to standards of law and practice in dealing with suspects in a very difficult job. Yesterday, we showcased a New Jersey public radio investigation on how hiring practices sometimes make police more loyal to the people who hired them than the regulations that govern how they are to behave. Attorney General Eric Holder, the Department of Justice, is investigating local police departments from New Orleans to Cleveland to Seattle. Today we go to Cleveland, where two suspects on the run led to a car chase involving more than 100 officers and eventually to the death of two Cleveland residents.
Why did they fire 137 shots? I don't know at this time, but I'll find that out. I will find that out for you.
Cleveland Police Chief Michael McGrath there. Joining us is Rachel DeSell, reporter for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. First of all, is this car chase typical in any way?
No, I don't think it's typical for Cleveland, and I don't think it's really typical for anywhere in the country to have so many police officers involved in chasing two suspects. Clearly, there are definitely police-involved shootings throughout the country, which is how this chase ended. But the magnitude of it, the number of people involved, and the attention that it got are definitely unusual.
But partly the investigation is focusing on how quickly things can cascade into an escalation that can be very, very dangerous to citizens on the streets.
Sure. And there's definitely been numerous investigations since this chase happened. You know, some have focused on how so many folks got involved. You know, the city has done an investigation there. A state attorney general's done his own investigation. County prosecutor presented the case to a grand jury. And then in addition, the U.S. Department of Justice, with the cooperation of the Cleveland Police, launched their own investigation, which has a wider scope, kind of looking at all of the policies and practices, maybe not specifically this chase, but, you know, the policies and practices of how police respond to residents.
Well, let's hear what Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine at a press conference on the results of his investigation into that police chase. Let's see what he said.
The large number of vehicles involved contributed to a crossfire situation at the pursuit's termination that risked the lives of many, many officers. And candidly, quite frankly, it's a miracle that many officers were not killed.
But still, if you listen to the police union attorney, Pat D'Angelo, after Attorney General DeWine's news conference in 2013, you really do get a sense of how vulnerable the police thought they were at the time.
The driver of the car tried to run over numerous police officers. He intentionally rammed other patrol cars, and officers were in fear of their life, and they did what they were trained to do. They fired their weapons. They were legally justified.
Is there a way to create a protocol that's going to govern in any situation like this, Rachel?
So I think that's been one of the difficult questions, John. And I think most people didn't dispute that the officers who ended up in that parking lot with a car coming at them had some fear for their lives. And many people thought, yes, they were justified in stopping this car. What the question was why did the situation happen in the first place? Why did, when one car thought that a shot was fired from this vehicle, started to follow it, you know, got on the police radio, why then did 61 other cars jump in and start following it? And what we heard from the police was, you know, one of our people was in danger. We're all going to go help them. What we heard from the city was, listen, that's not our policy. You can't do that. You know, the policy was that maybe no more than two cars should be involved in a chase. After this, they actually reformed that policy that you couldn't shoot at a moving vehicle. There have been many policy reforms. The question is whether people are going to follow them and whether they're the appropriate ones. The officers have said, you know, you're being too restrictive for us. We can't keep ourselves and other people safe if we have no ability to make some decision in the moment.
Is crime rising in the city of Cleveland? Because in many ways, that judges whether the citizens are going to be sympathetic to the police if they take aggressive action.
Actually, in many areas, crime has been down. I think that the visibility and the attention that crime gets has continued to go up like it has in many places. And in this case, I think it's unique. You know, usually something big happens and then we all start to pay attention to what's going on. The police union is kind of in the same boat as the folks that usually sue the city, you know, the civil attorneys who represent folks who have been either shot at by police or hurt by police, you know, during an arrest. They're both saying the same thing, that there needs to be more training, better training. The police are saying, you know, you can't get up in front of us and read a policy and expect us to understand how to act in a moment. We need to have some live real-time training. The city is saying, no, we think we do great in-house training, and these folks just aren't following the policy.
At the sort of bottom line of this investigation and at the end of the day, was there an officer, was there a person of a particular rank who could have gotten on the radio and called off most of those officers and that those officers would have had to obeyed?
Well, that's been one of the main criticisms, especially from the public and folks who have listened to the radio traffic. And in fact, a grand jury indicted several supervisors for different reasons, some of them for not being engaged and active enough, and another supervisor for kind of being in the mix with the officers rather than supervising them. I think those are going to be very tough cases, because when you listen to the radio traffic, when you listen to those police officers and supervisors' initial interviews, you can tell how much confusion there was. They have several different radio channels. Not everybody was on the same channel hearing the same thing. But I think if a lieutenant or a captain or someone had gotten on the radio and said, everybody stop right now, that would have had to happen. In some districts, people were called off and did, you know, peel off and leave the chase. In other cases, they disregarded orders.
Well, it's easy to get, as you say, easy to get very caught up in the hysteria of the moment, that's for sure. Rachel DeSalle is a reporter for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.